Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We have a truncated version of Money in Politics, but we do have Liz Peek, Fox News contributor and Hill columnist. And we do have Steve Moore from FreedomWorks Committee to Unleash Prosperity. His latest book is GovZilla, How the Relentless Growth of Government is Devouring Our Economy and Our Freedom. Thank you, kids, and thank you for your patience because of this Ukrainian thing. Could be Iran. Liz Peek, I go to you first. I had former Senator Phil Graham at the very top of the show, and he wrote a memo to his key contacts in the Republican side of the House and Senate. And his basic point was to curb inflation, we need to do one, a spending pause, and we need two, to go back to welfare reform with workfare. So, Liz, your article, GOP Don't Fall for the American Competes Act, is very timely. It's now a $350 billion bill, which would make us more like China. So you're spot on. Tell us some more, please.
Well, I'm shocked to find a lot of people haven't even heard of the America Competes Act. And the problem is, as it gets married up with the Senate-passed version of the same bill, it could get even bigger. It's not paid for. It's a bill that advertises itself, Larry, as making American suppliers of crucial components like semiconductors more competitive with China. What we're really doing is just subsidizing what turn out to be semiconductor companies, the most profitable companies on Earth. I have no idea why we are spending tens of billions of dollars. By the way, it's a small portion of this $350 billion package. As always, Democrats have stuffed a lot of stuff into this bill from the Green New Deal and from the PRO Act. It's a really messy bill, but this core premise that we taxpayers need to fund expansion by the likes of Intel, which is already spending tens of billions of dollars to build new plants, it's really nuts.
Steve Moore, 3,000 pages, $350 billion to make America more like China, right? State-controlled, subsidizing, more like China. And here's the thing, Steve. 18 Republican, it's either 16 or 18 Republican senators voted for it, which I find really grotesque.
Me too. And I apologize because this bill kind of flew under the radar screen, and I should have been paying more attention to this. $350 billion. What's $350 billion these days when they want to spend trillions on this and trillions on that? But it is an god-awful bill. I did read Liz's column. She was spot on. And I'll just tell you a very quick story. When I first came to Washington in, I think, 1983, you probably remember this, Larry. It was, right before the Reagan boom. And do you remember? It was all about national industrial policy.
Yep.
We had to do what the Japanese are doing.
Yep.
We got to have massive government subsidies for all our industries to compete with Japan. And Reagan, thankfully, said, hell no, we're just going to cut taxes and cut regulation.
Yep.
And then we had the biggest boom ever. So this is just national industrial policy. It is corporate welfare, and it has no place in the federal budget. It is a god-awful bill. It's simply going to make our companies dependent on government. And one other quick point, when companies are subsidized, they do worse. I actually think the wind and solar industry would probably be better off today if we hadn't given them $150 billion because they just become addicted to government aid.
That's a great point, because government aid is not tied to profitability.
Exactly.
It's tied to political connections.
Right.
And that's a really interesting, good point. I mean, Liz, to go back to this, we talked about it on the TV show. I'm trying to get, support. I think if Steve is willing, we should put it in the agenda for our Save America coalition.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
we have Save America kill the bill. We have Save America now kill this competes bill, and I think Save America kill inflation. So there's a pretty strong agenda. But Liz, more generally, what Phil Graham said, we need a spending pause and a welfare reform. It's a very interesting solution. I mean, we can talk about the money supply and the balance sheet and all that, but putting that aside for a minute, better to have a continuing resolution, which would spend at Trump levels going back to 2020. If they went to appropriations, which they haven't done in the Senate yet, the current services baseline shows over $2 trillion more in debt over the next 10 years. It would be a 16% increase. So Phil is saying stay with the CR and then try to work on workfare reform.
Yeah, I think both of those things are very good ideas. It's hard to restrain Democrat spending, so the CR solution is probably the best that there is. Just, don't allow any more appropriations. For heaven's sakes, don't allow any more big bills. And I just want to say one thing about the senators, the GOP senators that signed on to the Senate bill. It's a very different bill. So when they get combined, then let's look at, who votes for what. But don't equate the two because they are not the same kind of bill. They had a lot of things in there that fell out. But secondly, on the workfare, we all know that one of the biggest shortages in America right now is workers. We all know, thanks to Steve's and other people's really good work on this, that the tremendous benefits, which, by the way, continue. I mean, people aren't paying attention to the moratorium on rent, the moratorium on student loan payments, and so forth. There's still payments out there being made. Keep people on the sidelines. Make them indifferent to going back to work. And that is a huge problem. So Obama started taking the work requirements away from food stamps and other programs. It was a big mistake. There is no excuse for it, really. It's just sort of mushy thinking. So I agree with him. I think that would be a wonderful thing. That's not going to happen in a Democrat-controlled Congress.
Steve, we're still paying people not to work. That's the bottom line. Unemployment compensation may be gone, but we're still paying people not to work. And if people don't work, we will produce less. And if we produce less, we'll have even more too much money chasing too few goods, which is inflationary.
So one of my favorite economists named Larry Kudlow has said many times that, and you're so right about that, there is dignity in work.
Yes. Thank you.
People who work are happier. They're healthier.
Yes.
They're financially more secure. We're not doing a favor to these folks who are living on welfare and watching Netflix. I mean, come on. We've got to get people off the couch, back into the workforce. COVID is basically over now. At least this wave is long past.
Mm-hmm.
There is no reason why able-bodied people shouldn't be either in a training program or in a working or on a job. And, the American people are 80% of them are with us on this.
Yeah.
Yes, we want a safety net so people don't go hungry or lose their home or face other deprivation if they lose their job. But the idea is to get people back into the workforce as quickly as possible. We're doing just the opposite. Think about this. It's been 2 years now that a lot of people have not worked. Two years we've helped people out of the workforce.
Let's speak. We don't have a heck of a lot of time, but I'm reading a lot of blue state governors and many, many others. But they're starting to loosen up on the mandates for COVID, whether it's schools, vaccinations, masks. But Liz, I throw it out to both of you, but is it really true? Because these statewide, like here in New York, Governor Hochul is ending the mask mandate in public places. But then she says she leaves it up to the counties and the cities. So like New York City still has it. So it's like a phony thing.
Yeah, no, it's having your cake and eat it, too. She doesn't want to be tarred by New York voters for keeping all these restrictions in place. But, in New York City, it's pretty hard to figure out why anything's changed or how anything's changed. And she can get away with that by allowing local authorities to make all the hard decisions. I don't think they are hard decisions. I think this pandemic is in the rearview mirror.
Mm.
Voters clearly feel that these restrictions are not necessary any longer. And look, if people want to continue to wear two masks and walk around in a hazmat suit, you know, God bless them. Let them do it. It doesn't matter to me. But don't impose that on me. And, you know, the other night we went to the theater. It was great. It was a Music Man. I highly recommend it. Super fun. But everyone in that theater, I mean, there were Nazis at the door, and they went through 15 times telling you to mask up. Okay, I get it. If there's an outbreak, maybe they have to go dark, and that's horrible. But this is, it's too much, and it's gone on too long. We want relief.
I got to leave it there, kids. I wonder if you can get a Savile Row bespoke hazmat suit to wear to the theaters. Liz Peek, thank you for your patience today. Steve Moore, ditto. I know we ran late, but you're both wonderful folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. Join us during the week. Fox Business, the name of the show is Kudlow, 4 to 5 p.m. every day. We will be back on the air, WABC, next weekend.